Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of River City 93, two-man show this week. Matt and Chenier here with you to talk about a pretty awful, kickers game, but it's pretty bad, 12 hours in the world of American soccer right there. What do you say?
For us soccer lovers in Richmond, it's been a rough weekend.
I think that's a very kind way of putting it, to say the least. So if you're listening to this and somehow don't know what was going on, Kickers lost, 2-1 to that team up north that we try not to talk about. And frankly, don't think the score was, I don't think the game was as close as the score suggests it was. And followed up by an early morning wake-up call for many of us to be able to watch the women's team in the World Cup go out on penalties in a very painful fashion. So it's going to go up from here, right?
Hopefully. That's the crazy thing. I was thinking the same thing last week, and then things just did get worse.
Yes. Yeah. So Kickers are not in the strongest run of form at the moment. I think what 5 in a row now without a win, and 1 out of the last 8 has been a win, and that has seen them fall down the table. Still, I think technically 7th place, but there's a 6-point gap now between the Kickers and the last playoff spot, and there's a game in hand in there. So it's not done, but all the wiggle room is pretty much all but vanished at this point. And I was talking to Rob Ucrop a little bit after the game. He's like, "Hey, I feel like we're only a 3-game win streak away from just being right in there and really in a good spot." Which is not necessarily wrong, but my retort there to him was, maybe we start with a 2-game win streak.
That's all we can hope for.
Yeah,
I just feel that at this point right now, we're running out of solutions with this team, which is my biggest fear, is that it's interesting because in the WhatsApp group, in our WhatsApp chat, Elliot did point out that it's looking like we're gonna need like a light reset at the end of this season, in the off season, because I don't think there is a talent issue. I think what we're dealing with here is, I wouldn't say a chemistry issue, but the types of players we have don't match up for the system that Darren is trying to run.
I think there's bigger questions there to be had, and let's get to that a little bit later, but let's just blow through what happened on Saturday real fast, so that way we can check it off the list, say we talked about it, and never speak of it again after this.
Yeah.
this week in kind of lineup roulette, we were back to the 4-4-2 this time around. Chandler O'Dwyer getting start, first time we've seen him start a game in probably a couple months, I would think, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since he's started. I think they said the last time he started was early June, which I don't know. It didn't seem right to me. It felt like it's been a longer time than that. But I think it was probably back in early June that was the last time he started a game.
Yeah, I think it might have been that first NoCo away game, one of those failed Chandler on the wing experiments.
Yeah.
So he was playing in the midfield this time around, a little bit more right-sided on the midfield. But other than that, the usual crew that we've been seeing in the 4-4-2, Dwyer, in for Suko, But otherwise, same old, same old. Which I think the bad news is same old, same old is leading to same old in results.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the issue we're dealing with here. I don't know. In my opinion, Sierakowski was playing a little bit more on the right this time. He floated around a bit, but I saw him play a little more on the right, and I don't think it suits him. A midfield, I know that with our numbers, we would want to be able to run with that midfield three, but having O'Dwyer in that midfield, there were some things that looked different, that looked better. With regards to the attack, the way we were attacking in this game, there were some variations, even though everything went down the left side. It literally was like everything was going down that left side of the field. But there were ways we were breaking through. We were breaking through a little bit, and we did have quite a few opportunities, a few missed opportunities. I know O'Dwyer had a diving header that he just missed. That was I think it was a deep cross from Ani or a deep ball from Ani that went over the back line, and he tried to reach out to get ahead to it. Terzaghi had a real close one that literally went between Shipman's legs, but hit his heel on the way past, and it scooted out of bounds. We had some electric moments, more than we've seen in the past, but I don't know if we can chalk that up as it's the same system. It's just that there is a little bit more pep in their step because it's a derby.
Yeah. Hard to say what's in anybody's mind, but your own, right? But I think the irony, what you're saying is, so much of the attack focused on the left, and I think the three or four big-ish chances that the kickers had during actual run of play came through the right side.
Exactly.
Coming over, or Simon, got his way, up there to be able to provide the ball for Emmy for that, He probably should have scored that one. His other chances were a little more of those, half or less than half, type chances. But that's the one that I think, we really got to look back at and, say, we expect, a guy, of Emmy's, quality to finish that from 6 yards. But what can you do? What can you do? One of the things, I think we started to see a lot, even over the last month too, and I think we've touched upon this a little bit over the years in some of our various conversations, is this idea of, better to have good luck, than no luck, but it's also better to have no luck than bad luck. And, this team, I think, is in a nice run of, bad luck.
Yeah.
One thing I really do believe is that good teams, create their own good luck, and teams that aren't in a good place, there's bad balances that bad luck finds their way to them. And I think we saw that on the first Madison goal.
Yeah, that first Madison goal, when was it, Bartman? That cross comes in, he gets a decent touch on it to set it up. But I think it was Hornsby who tries to reach around him with his foot to get his foot on the ball and just mistimes it. And literally there's just a pileup of bodies in front of the goal and it just goes in. Bartman is awarded the goal because I got off of him last. But it just was one of those situations where there were bodies around him. Barnathan came flying in. Hornsby was right on Bartman the whole way from his first touch all the way into the goal. And Fitzgerald was there, but for some reason, all bodies collide and the ball finds its way through. So you're looking at a situation where I don't know if do we have that bad luck on the goal if Bartman is actually if someone's actually marking Bartman on this cross, because when the cross comes in, Bartman is by himself. He's able to bring the ball down of sorts and move forward with the ball on the bounce with a decent amount of space, even though Hornsby is coming from behind him, which lets me know that it's a late panic. Oh no, somebody got the ball in our box. I got to do something about it, rather than where's Bartman? Is he marked up before the cross comes in?
I think the reason Hornsby's making a recovery run right there is because he had a good first part of the year, but man, did Nathan Aune have a bad game last night, and he just passed the ball right to, I think it was Onan, you know, sprung a break, and you know, it was just a scramble, try to, you know, recover, and well, we saw what happened.
Yeah. So you're our fullbacks who are basically our wide support when we're attacking too are probably further up the field with Ani in possession of the ball, and now, as you're saying, it was a scramble for Hornsby to have to, you know, get himself back there to try and make something of it.
Yeah. So not great. And you know, sent game in, you know, halftime 1-0. But yeah, it's these little, you know, things that on face value individually could look like bad luck between that Simon's, you know, own goal, you know, last week, you know, some of the other, you know, little things that have happened, you know, here and there, you know, over the last month, you know, of, okay, you know, in a vacuum, one individual, you know, thing, chalk that out to bad luck, but I don't think bad luck, you know, comes in patterns. And I think that's, you know, kind of, you know, endemic of larger issues most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, second half was a lot like the first half. Unfortunately, you know, Emmy had that one good chance we, you know, talked about, you know, earlier. It's the play that we have this year that, you know, find that you know, chance for, you know, Simon to, you know, get open down the wing. You know, he hits, you know, the, you know, early low driven cross into the box, and, you know, whether it's Emmy or one of the midfielders, you know, crashing in. That's been, I think, the one reliable attack, you know, pattern all year. Should have worked again, you know, this week, but other than that, not much doing until it was too late, I think.
Yeah, it was like the attack hit the panic button toward the end of the game, and they were just trying to throw everything but the kitchen sink at forward Madison, and we get lucky on a corner kick, and the ball hits someone's hand. I don't know what his arm was doing all the way up there, but it didn't. For me, it's one of those situations. It's like he didn't really look like he was intentionally trying to reach to grab the ball. But at the end of the day, why is your arm up there?
Yeah, I mean that was a gift.
Yeah, so we're gifted a PK. Barnathan buries it. I was actually surprised that Barnathan took it.
We're also going to take it at that point. You know, Emmy, Neil, they were both off the field.
That's true. But I guess, you know, in terms of the pecking order of PKs, I mean, we don't know, because 9 times out of 10, it's Terzaghi, and there have been a couple of, I think, one or two that Neil has taken. But so we never knew who was number three. So now we know who number three is for our PK.
He took it well. Give him credit there.
Yeah.
But it was already 2-0 at that point.
And it's fairly late in the game too. What was it? The 87th minute? Yeah. 87th minute. That PK is taken, and it's like you got 3 minutes plus some stoppage time. The way things have been going so far, it was unlikely that we were going to be able to make anything work for a second goal to maybe try and salvage a point from this one. But
Yep, and you know, we got the pleasure of Madsen scoring, you know, down in front of the supporters' end again, and you know, celebrating. And I don't have a problem when teams do that, yeah, you know, because you know, fans want to, you know, talk crap to players during the game. That's the, you know, comeuppance. Yeah, you know, that's on, yeah, you know, our guys on the field to make sure that that can't possibly happen.
Yeah,
you know, so and also, you know, shows they're hearing us at the very least. You know,
if they choose to come over to us, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so I mean, you know, I've got no issues with, you know, them clapping back. Talked about this last time we played them. It's the same Stephen Payne. Like, if you want Stephen Payne, if you want to, you know, celebrate your, you know, this time your team's goal, not just your own goal, that's fine. Own it. You don't need to, you know, come over and then do the, oh, I'm not celebrating thing. Just celebrate. It's cool. Yeah. You're here for 1 year. You're not, you know, scripted into the Richmond lore by any means.
He was here for 1 year, but I view it as, you know, it's with Payne last time, it was his elation from scoring a goal, fighting against a sense of respect, I guess. It's like, I'm happy I scored a goal, but I used to play for y'all last year. This is a little bit uncomfortable. Like, so, but I mean, no one else on the team had that any kind of inhibition towards that at all.
No, more power to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it when our guys, you know, a little bit dickheaded, you know, to the, you know, teams when we're away. So be hypocritical to say otherwise.
Yeah. And speaking of Payne, I know he's probably in a happy place right now. His sister's doing very well over there in Australia, or is it New Zealand? I can't remember what bracket is where. But yeah.
I don't care at this point, so.
Yeah, it's over there where the games are at like ungodly hours.
Yeah. I mean, that tournament's, we can agree that tournament's over and done.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about that anymore. It's over.
So Shanier, one of the things, you know, I want us to kind of discuss a little bit more is, you know, and I had the chance to, you know, do the post game interviews last night, and you know, one of the things I asked, you know, Darren is, you know, for, you know, all of our, you know, fans who might, you know, have a little bit of a, you know, crisis of confidence, you know, losing a little bit of, you know, belief that, you know, this team, you know, can still, you know, compete and contend for a playoff spot, what he would say to them. And the short answer to all of it is, you know, to, you know, blame him, you know, right now. You know, he was saying that he didn't have the team, you know, ready in the first half, that, you know, the plans they were putting together weren't good enough. So I think we should unpack that and, you know, what we think about how, you know, Darren and, you know, the coaching staff as a whole, you know, has or hasn't, you know, been, you know, doing, especially over these last 2 months as things have turned, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the full blame can be put on Darren. I honestly feel that Darren, you know, saying blame me is, you know, a very typical coaching tactic of, you know, take the pressure off of the players so they can focus on getting ready for the next game. And basically being the shield and taking the brunt for the players. We've seen it on the biggest stages. We've seen it on the international level. We've seen it a lot in soccer, that coaches will do that in order to, you know, keep the mentality of the players focused on the right thing. But I don't think that we can fully blame Darren for this performance and for the way the team is going right now. I know we've had our criticisms of him, but the main thing is Darren has been making changes. Almost every week there is a tweak here and there of changing something here, changing something there. Going and getting Sirikowski and whatnot. And I think it would be a bit harsh to say, oh, well, you're not doing your job or you're not doing the right things. You're not doing enough when it's like, okay, he's made change after change after change. I think what our issue here now is personnel. And as I talked about at the beginning was the pieces aren't matching. Mm-hmm. So, individually, these players are all decent and can all hang in this league, but together as a whole, the pieces aren't matching to create a cohesive system.
Yeah, so let me kind of follow that thought up a little bit. Put yourself into the mind of Darren and the coaching staff. Are you believing in the squad that you have right now? Do you believe you have the team that can actually get the job done at this moment in time?
Me personally, no. And like I said, I think because there is a matchup issue, not because of a talent level issue. Because when we have players like Belmar and Terzaghi and Zaka, Neil, even Gomero, Sukow is decent. Barnathan and Ani are solid defenders. Hornsby has been great. Fitch has really improved. It's not the individual players that aren't good enough. It's the way they don't match up. And it's like there was some errors made in terms of building this team at the beginning of the season or during the off season when we lost a lot of our key players that were the glue of sorts. When you had the outlet of Johnny B, and we had that midfield energizer bunny of Ethan Bryant, that was the glue that held all of this together. But once that glue is gone, all these pieces are breaking apart, and it's not gelling. And whatever new pieces are coming in aren't gluing this team together the way I would say those two players, and even in the games that he did play for us, I would say Payne, because he was one of those up and back, box to box fullbacks that provided a lot of support for the team in terms of being able to having the legs and having the engine to be up and down the field the whole game. So it's key players gone that now are replaced with players that are good in their own right, but don't fit the same way those players did. So I don't think that this team can really. It looks like there is no matchup to get these guys to work well.
Yeah, and for me, I don't think the coaching staff believes in our attackers at this point outside of Emmy. Yeah, because you keep seeing them cycled in and out. Yesterday, Bentley was on the bench, but Belmar and Gordon nowhere to be seen. We've seen games where Bentley was nowhere to be found. We've seen games where Luke is available off the bench. Landon Johnson, first attacking sub, he turned to this game, and he flashed in the Comunicaciones game, but he's still a 16-year-old, kid, going out there in games that count against, grown men professionals. And not to, fault him, he hasn't made an impact in league games yet when he's gotten in there. But I don't think, Darren has any belief or faith in really anyone. So he's saying, all right, well, let's give the young guy a chance. And because it can't be worse than what anybody else is going to give us right up front.
And to be honest with you, I mean, he did show some promise when he did come on, Lynn Johnson. No, he didn't affect the game too much, but I think by the time he came on, there wasn't much he could do. But he did show there was a lot of energy, a lot of movement. His touches were good. Some of his vision of attacking space was pretty good, that I did think was pretty cool. I'm just hoping that this is a preparation for some of those young players for next year. Are some of these young players going to be sticking around, and the used next year in more of a capacity because they will have had 1 year of experience under their belt?
Maybe, but that also then sounds to me like, all right, halfway waving the white flag on this year, if you know, already, you know, doing a little bit of the, you know, the prep work, you know, for next year, because after the second goal, you know, big old line change, and who are the three that came off? Emmy, Neil, and Ani, who you'd probably say are three of the foundational players on the team, and you know, two more academy kids and Bentley, you know, come on at that point. And don't worry, I don't necessarily think he's wrong to not believe in, you know, most of our attackers at this point, because
yeah,
they haven't shown consistently much at all. And you know, Sierakowski is quickly finding his way into those same stat categories as, you know, Belmar and you know, Gordon and Bentley. He's just the new flavor of the month right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I do feel that Neil did show a lot of fight in this game. He was doing some of the same stuff that he had been doing before the injury. We started to see some of the old Neil in this game. But the only issue is Neil works well when he has outlets on the wing, because I don't know if Neil is the type of player that can very easily find that killer pass in the middle. And which is why I don't know if you will see a lot of most of Terzaghi's goals are assisted by crosses, but by our wide players. And we don't see a lot from our number 10, a lot of assists from our number 10 to Terzaghi. So yeah. Neil, if he does not have those wingers, and that's why one of the reasons why I think he did so well last year was because he would do his thing in the middle, and once he drew all those defenders in, he was just finding Bolaños out on the wing to you know, take that ball, run at defenders, run at the remaining defender that was left, so that created that space for our wide players. But with the wide players we have now, I don't think Neil has that option. He doesn't have that outlet where he could pass it wide and know that something's going to happen. Whenever he did, one of those wide players is either taking that extra touch too many and end up losing the ball, or crossing the ball completely waywardly, or crossing the ball to an empty box in the middle, or so.
And I completely understand why Darren subbed those three guys off when he did, because at that point, then we're down 2-0 with about 15-20 minutes to go, something like that. And we have a game on Wednesday. That's him saying, this team isn't going to come back and get a point. Let me, you know, save a little bit of legs, which on the rational side, okay, good. You know, recognizing, you know, a lost cause when you see it and not, you know, digging in. On the emotional side, you know, this is, you know, a rivalry, you know, game. Don't tell Elliot I said this. I don't think it's that big a rivalry, you know, for anyone other than people on Twitter. You know, but, you know,
I mean,
it feel good to wave the white flag that early on in the game, you know, that a lot of people want to win just beyond the fact that you want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even though this rivalry, when you look at a lot of rivalries, there's usually some geographic closeness with regards to it. This is probably the longest distance rivalry in U.S. soccer. But I think because of the fact that it's been talked about almost every single game between us and them, is it's one of those things where now it's like, okay, this is this is now an official rivalry. The players are aware of it. Darren is aware of it. The whole coaching staff is aware of it. The whole team as a whole, the front office is aware of it. It's all over Twitter. The announcers are talking about it. So I agree with you that it's one of those situations where it's like, on the bigger picture, yeah, you look at it, we're 2-0 down. It doesn't look like we're going to score. Let's not waste Neil, Emmy, and Ani's legs. Let's take them off, prepare them for Wednesday. We've got a midweek game. But it kind of, to in a vacuum and in the isolated incident, in the isolated viewpoint, the fishbowl viewpoint that, hate to say it, most American soccer fans have, it's like you're pulling out your best players in a rivalry. Like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I think in that case, with Darren answering the question the way he did, saying that, okay, you know, put the blame on me, I think a lot of people are going to jump on that and be like, oh yeah, put the blame on him because he went and gave up halfway through a derby game. But I think at this point right now, Darren is trying to stack as many of the odds in our favor as possible. So resting those players' legs for Wednesday is one thing that he feels he has to do if we want to salvage some points. We need to get back in the playoff spots, and that's what he's aiming for.
Yeah, so Wednesday's home against North Carolina, and kind of going off of, you know, how, you know, Darren and the coaching staff have been, you know, trying to figure something out and, you know, again, trying to go back into their heads. You know, we've seen three different shapes, you know, during, you know, this run. You know, what do you think, you know, we see? What do you want to see on Wednesday, you know, against the team that I think they're back up on top of the table now in North Carolina?
Yeah, they are back on top of the table. NOCO are 2 points behind them, and them and NOCO have two games in hand against third place. So they're kind of running away with it. It's looking like it's between those two.
Yeah. By the way, you know, you're welcome, rest of the league, because apparently we broke Northern Colorado somehow. You know, because ever since they played us, they've lost three in a row and are just bleeding goals like nobody's business.
Yeah, yeah, we did that. We did that. I think. It's tough because almost every scenario that we have pointed out, like, we should try this, we should try that, Darren, to his defense, has pretty much tried. And I've seen so many times that we've turned around looking at the lineup before the game and like, he's trying it, and he tries it and it doesn't work. So it's, well, one of those.
In fairness, I think it works for 45 minutes and then the other teams figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. I don't know. Of course we want our mainstays. Neil definitely had a good performance. A decent performance last night.
I don't know if we can categorize anybody as having good. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't say good. It was a decent performance. He tried to make things happen. I think Gomero should definitely be in because he did have some pretty decent moments in the game. His movement in the midfield, his touch, the one thing about him is his first touch gets him out of a lot of trouble. And we need that because once he has that first touch to get him out of trouble, he has that space to look up and find feet. And the more he plays, the better his passes will become. And I think his playing time has been so chopped up that you see that level of unfamiliarity when you see passes end up going behind where players are or too far ahead. And I think he has the tools to be the closest thing to Ethan Bryant that we've got in this roster. And I think he needs to play more. So I think on Wednesday, if he's fit to play, Gomero should start in the midfield.
Do you want to see, you know, just go with 4-4-2 with, you know, maybe slightly different personnel? Do you want to, you know, see another shot at the 3-5-2, 5-3-2, whatever you want to call the Lexington look? Go back to the, you know, early season 4-3-3. You know, option D that I haven't thought of yet, that nobody's seen yet.
I don't even know what option D would be. I don't know. Maybe like a 3-4-3. I don't know. I don't know. To be honest with you, I really don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the greater issue, right?
Yeah.
Easy for us to say, because I think, you know, this coaching staff has no idea right now how to, you know, what, you know, kind of, you know, set up, what kind of, you know, plan is going to get the best out of, you know, the players. And again, that's not necessarily, you know, a shot at the coaching staff. It, you know, it's a shot, you know, at, you know, the play, you know, what's going to get the players to execute the best.
Yeah, it's been literally all season. It's been, okay, we've got to this point now. We've tried plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and nothing's working. Now what? You know, it's like, now what do we do? We got no more plans on the list. What do we, and there's not really much else in terms of combinations that we can create here. excuse me.
Or at least not with what we have on the roster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if we need to go back to the go shopping again. Which
I don't think there's money out there, you know, for that, because one of the things that I think is a fair, you know, defense for, you know, the staff is, you know, the CBA, you know, that was signed this year. Great for players, not great for maybe, you know, teams like the Kickers, who are not the deepest in the pockets. You know, so I think we have a very, you know, competitive, you know, first 11, 12, 13 on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think you know the quality dips a little bit. We've seen a couple of surprises, you know, kind of, you know, pop up. Like, I think you know, Joao's probably done better than expected, but he's certainly on the, you know, cheaper end. We don't have, you know, maybe the same quality of depth that we would have had last year. We had you know, a good rotating, you know, crew, you know, up front of guys who could be able to, you know, handle their business. You know, we had you know, rotation in the, you know, the back that could handle their business. And, you know, I think they made the call, all right, let's try to lock down, you know, some of our premium players and sacrifice the depth side for it.
Yeah.
So just, you know, fact of life. If you happen to know anybody who has a lot of money who wants to invest it in, you know, to Richmond, you know, Kicker Soccer, you know, Rob's email is on the website. I'm sure
he'll, yeah,
you know, talk about bringing in a new partner into the team.
Look, we'll take what we can get at this point. The difficult thing with regards to having a reset over, you know, at the end of the season during the off season is, and this goes back to what I was saying about how all of these components, all of the players we have, they're especially that starting 11, 12, 13, they're decent players. They're players that can hang in this league and that can do well in this league. So with that being said, we don't have the money to add to this team. So who do we swap out? Who do we let go of?
Well, I think that's a off-season, you know, topic. You don't need to accelerate the way there. But, you know, EVD, I think will probably be back in 3 or 4 weeks, most likely, at this point. Hopefully,
yeah, I thought he was training.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's, you know, actively training at this point. You know, I'm guessing when he comes back, it'll start off as a sub and everything. But, you know, he's a proven winner at this level. Who knows, coming off an Achilles, if he's what he's going to have, especially right now. But look, it can't be worse.
Yeah. So. It can't. And he might bring a different dynamic, a different, Who knows? He might be. Yeah, and we don't know what different that'll bring. What, because sometimes you could just plug that one player in, and the type of player that player is might make certain other parts of the team click based off of, you know, that domino effect of, because this guy's playing here, that kind of straightens everything else out. I'm hoping. Here's the hoping. But with that being said, EVD is basically another attacking player, another striker. Do we switch back to a two up top and put him and Terzaghi up top? Because I wouldn't think that he would be a player that you would put on the wing.
Who knows? Well, good problem to have when it comes, because, again, the pieces we have right now, not getting it done. And,
yeah,
you know, it'll be like, you know, it's the classic, transfer window thing when somebody, you know, gets an injured player back. It's like, oh, it's like a new signing. Any last things to say about this game before we bury this, never to speak of it again?
No, not really.
Cool. Let's move along. So, good news is, you know, get right back on the horse Wednesday, you know, home against, you know, North Carolina. And like, you know, I think we've had a little bit of a negative tint on this, you know, episode, I think merited, but still show up, because, you know, any soccer at City Stadium is better than not being at City Stadium. And it's still a great, you know, time, you know, out there. You know, had a lower crowd this week, but our lower crowds now are mid 4,000s. You know, so that's still, you know, good time out, you know, with everything. So, you know, no excuse. Still show up. You know, get a chance to be able to, you know, see what these guys can turn on. I mean, last time they played North Carolina, had them on the ropes. We're not going to worry about what happened in the second half of that game, but first half dominated them. And who knows? Maybe this will be, you know, the kind of jolt to the system that they need to be able to, you know, head into the weekend at Chattanooga and, you know, start making, you know, a 2021-esque late season run into the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we're still, I think, we're not quite out of it. We're still within touching distance, you know, and there is a possibility, and you can kind of see when you look at the table, there is that gap between those that are in the playoff spots and those that aren't. But we're at the top of the we are literally right outside in terms of placement. In terms of points, not so much. It's going to be a little bit of work, but then again, we also need to look at it this way. Anything can happen. You know, there have been teams that have been going on great runs, and all of a sudden, like you said, like with Noko, all of a sudden hemorrhaging goals left and right and losing games. We just need to figure out a system in which we can rectify this. We can make that change and turn this team around.
Yep, and no better time to start than Wednesday.
Yes.
All right, man. Well, I think that's about all we care to say, you know, for this episode. Appreciate you hopping on and talking through all of this, and, you know, help me try to break into the minds of you know, Darren and the coaching staff. Hopefully, we were able to piece something together. Yeah, you know, there. Who knows if we're right? Hard to say.
Hopefully.
But thank you all, you know, everybody, for listening. I think we're going to try to do a quick hitter short episode after the Wednesday, you know, game, and then we'll be back on the regular schedule to break down, you know, Chattanooga, this time next week. As always, you can check out everything we have got on website, RiverCity93.com, on whatever you call Elon's site, you know, at River City 93, Facebook, River City 93, Instagram, I think it's River City 93. It's River City 93, like anywhere you would probably be looking.
Yeah.
But again, I have a feeling if you're listening to this, you probably already know all of that. But yeah, definitely, you know, appreciate all the support. You know, had a couple people Saturday, you know, say that they, you know, found it and listened. And that's always, you know, cool to be able to hear. Hopefully you're still listening, you know, moving forward. But again, you know, appreciate everybody's, you know, support, you know, back at it, you know, on Wednesday. Hope to see everybody at the stadium. And, you know, maybe we'll have a happy conversation on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I don't want another therapy session after Wednesday's game.
Look, this team doesn't repeat results, so it's got to be a win or a draw, right?
Yeah. So I'll take that. I'll take some points.
Yeah. All right. There you got it. Shaneer says we're getting points. I co-sign. So thanks, Shaneer. Yeah, always a good time. Yeah. I think this might be our first just you and me show, and I enjoy
it. All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next time.